Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. What's up, family? What's up? Peace and love out there. Peace and love. Let me say, y'all, let me greet you one more time. Y'all give y'all all the salutations out there. Hotel, raw bag. Assalamu alaikum, man. And what's up? What's up? What's up? Hey, y'all, welcome to tune in to Coach of Freedom Radio, man, on this magnificent Sunday afternoon or maybe Sunday night or maybe on a Sunday shadow hour, however it may be, y'all, it is Sunday, most definitely in the house. Hey, y'all, I am y'all brother Ray for the night, y'all brother Sunray 9 coming in here, y'all, giving y'all another classic lecture, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about, classic lecture. Something put a stain on your brain, y'all. Y'all know how I like to say it. I like old school, y'all know me. I come with some old school fans on y'all in a minute. Tonight, y'all, broadcast will be brought to y'all. You're giving tonight's lecture, man, our brother, our general. Man, one who stands for the liberation of the struggle of the black liberation, let me say it like that, y'all, of the black nation. Man, I'm talking about our late great brother, man, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, be giving y'all a lecture tonight, a speech, man, talking about beware of the white woman, beware of the white woman. I think this was a very important lecture to play tonight, y'all. Dealing with our struggle and our liberation as a people, we have been told and warned all about the black man, about the white man and how his disagreeableness and how his evil and wickedness is. But like Brother Khalid said, we've never been told about his white woman. We hadn't been warned about his white woman. You know what I'm saying? And his white woman is an instrument and is a tool that's also used to destroy you. Because like I said, the white man, you study the history, the white man don't give a damn about his own white woman. So, you know what I'm saying? So he give care more about the black woman than his own white woman. You know, but he don't give a damn about her either, because y'all got to remember now, coming up in the so-called struggle, she had to try to fight to get voters' rights herself. They gave the so-called slaves rights before they even gave their own white woman the chance and the opportunity to vote. So you know how much he cared for the damn white woman. He don't care nothing about her herself. But she still used as a tool and an instrument to help destroy the black man. If you don't believe it, just check it out. Y'all can go and look at all of our brothers who have hooked up with white women. Just look at Lamar Odom, y'all. Use your brother as an example. I hate to do that, but look at our brother Lamar Odom. Used to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, the brother was doing fine. He was all on these TV reality, so-called reality shows. And look who he married to, one of them goddamn Kardashians. I forget which one. I think it was Khloe Kardashian. He was so-called married to her. Then even had a baby by her. That's the worst goddamn thing you can do right there. He had a baby by her. Then next thing you know what they started talking about. The brother started smoking crack. A millionaire. Out there smoking goddamn crap. You know what I'm saying? You're hooking up with these goddamn Kardashians. Now you got this other brother running around here, Kanye West, think he got a pot of gold, goddamn it, with Kim Kardashian. Another one of them. Just look at it. How all of our brothers are running to these so-called, somebody said, but she's not white, she's something else. Well, goddamn it, she ain't a sister either. Just straight out. She's not in our Crayola crayon box either. So she's not listed as what we would call a black woman or a Nubian woman. Neither one of our color polls. But just look how they do it, y'all. But I'm going to let my brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad get into this one tonight, y'all. We're going to do it right here. Beware of the white woman. Like I said, with our general, man, the man who's been a general in for the struggle and the liberation of the black nation. Man, I'm talking about the late, great Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And I'm going to say one more thing on this one, y'all. And see, really, I like to go back and play these things here. Now, I know some people say that these brothers and what they brought was a thing of the past. We can't liberate our people with the teachings that they brought from the past. Well, I can say, and they said, some people say that their teachings is basically outdated. Well, I would say truth and facts is never outdated. Truth and facts never be outdated. It's not like I said time and time before, it's not like a pack of meat that sit in the refrigerator and it has an expiration date and it will expire and it's no good. And like bread, it get molded and you got to throw the shit away. Truth doesn't expire. It doesn't have an expiration date on it. Now, probably what they brought in that day and that time is still good. It's still good. But what we have to do is we have to build upon that. Just because somebody laid the first floor out of a building, now we got to come on, y'all, and we got to elevate it, and we got to add on the second floor. So what they saying, it was good for that day and that time, and it still actually have some powerful words, too, that we can use to this day. We just got to know how to modify it and bring it up to date so somebody of this day and time can relate to it. See, just y'all got to remember, then look at the things that were happening in the teachings back in the days, right? Going back to our brother, the Noble Jew Ali, and Marcus Garvey, and coming up through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the Nation of Islam back in those days. Look at those teachings, right, and how it helped inspire people to do better for themselves. We had brothers, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you tell the brothers that we got to be dressed dignified. We got to go out and we have to be dignified. Now look at our young brothers and look at how they're doing now, parading around with their pants all hanging off their ass. There's no dignity there. There's no dignification to that. So we have to still give out these words to instill these things in our people, man, so they can see these things and, man, help themselves. So while we're throwing a lot of these teachings away, saying this is not good, but we're looking at how our people were today compared to what they looked like yesterday and how our mindsets were on yesterday, we basically still need those teachings. We basically need those teachings. We just got rid of a lot of those teachings because a lot of those teachings actually stepped on a lot of our toes, and it was like we had to straighten our act up. And a lot of us don't want to straighten our act up, so we'll rather say we don't need that shit for today. It's not prevalent for these days and times. We don't need that type of teaching. We most definitely need that these days and times. Because look at the things that's happening. Look how black man, our youth, are out here running wild in the streets. Just look at them. They're calling their sisters bitches and hoes all over the radio and all in the streets. Look how even the sisters are disrespecting themselves. Just look at it. And now, back in the day, we didn't have those type of things that's going on in our society. You know, we always had people who ran shy, and we had wildness. We had that. Now, don't get me wrong on that. We had some people who were wild out there, but not to the level that it is today. So that's what I'm saying. These teachings still can be used and applied, but we just don't want to teach on that anymore because, like, a lot of these things, like they say, when you know better, you have to learn how to do better. When you know what's right, you goddamn it, you got to learn how to act right. So let's get into this thing, y'all, right here. My brother Khalid Abdul Muhammad, I want to hold you up. Like I said, it's about a, 40-something minute lecture, y'all getting into it here. But our brother talking about y'all, man. God damn it, we got to beware of the white woman. For all of y'all brothers who thinking, and I'm going to say what Khalid said, 1 and 4, a lot of brothers were running around here with the Malcolm X shirt, the Malcolm X hats, and all this stuff, but you had a white woman running up under your elbow. Yeah, that's what he said. You had a white woman under your elbow. So you still got love and aspiration to be with that white woman. You better leave her ass alone when you find out she's a devil just as well as a goddamn devilish white man. Let's get into it, y'all. The brother minister, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the general, y'all, Black Power.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the world. I bear witness that there is, regardless to land or label or language, but one God. I bear witness to Osiris, to Isis, to Abraham, to Jesus, to Moses, and Muhammad, and all of the great worthies who came in the great line of divine. I greet you, my beloved and beautiful black brothers and sisters, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I will try not to hold you very long today, but something is very heavy on my heart. Especially with now getting the news of the fate of our young brothers in the so-called Central Park jogger case. It has weighed on my heart all night since getting the news on yesterday. as we look at the case of Sister Mariam Muhammad or Tawana Brawl, now we look at this devil white woman, how they attempted to give us an image of this woman of purity and to evoke so much sympathy and empathy around the honor and the purity of this cracker woman. So I have chosen as my subject today, so hold on to your seatbelt, don't be shocked. I'll clear it up as we go along, but don't let it shock you. My subject today is the white woman is a bitch. Because if you leave out the second part, you'll think I'm being bold. A female two-legged dog. We are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that of all our studies, history is best qualified, most attractive to reward our research. That if we know what happened yesterday, we can intelligently discuss today, because today is built on yesterday and tomorrow is built on today.
That's right.
All kinds of theories on how the white man got here. Some say that all of the people on the face of the planet Earth used to at one time be white. That everybody was white, but because they migrated to hotter climates, that we turn black as a result of going to the temperate zone and to the torrid zone. What foolishness. Climate does not determine the pigmentation of the skin. It is in the skin something that is called melanin, and melanin determines the pigmentation of the skin, and the more we study it now, we are finding that melanin even goes deeper. A study of melanin, we're finding that it's linked to more than just pigmentation, that it might even have something to do with personality. It might have something to do with the core spirituality and even morality of a people. For the people who lack melanin, then they repel to a greater degree than those who have melanin. All things have melanin. But we're talking about the greater concentration of melanin. The people who are the most melanated people are the people who are in tune with nature. In tune and in harmony with the universe and the cosmos. We are taught that for every physical law, there's a mental and a spiritual counterpart. White people repel sunlight. White is the absence of color. It is not the presence of color, but the absence of color. Black is not a color at all. Black is actually the essence from which all of the colors come. But in all of the languages, however you view the white man as a white woman, it is always in this sense of being a demelanated people, a mutant people, an extreme case of albinism walking around on the face of the planet Earth. And so in Spanish for the term white, you say blanco. B-L-A-N-C-O. And the etymological root is blank. As we say, nothing. Or plain of play, we say nothing. And French is what? Who speaks French? What is it, sister? Blanc. It's blanc. And the root there is also what?
Come on.
Blank. It means the absence of. These are a demelanated mutant people, and they have what is considered a, many of them, a calcified pineal gland, We'll get into that at another time. But if these are the people who represent an absence of color and less melanin than the people of the earth who are made in God's image and after his likeness, the black woman and the black man, then that means that to some degree they are out of tune and out of sync with nature and the harmony of the sphere.
Yes, right.
For everything in nature bows and submits to the sunlight.
Right.
Everything needs sun because sun is the great giver of light, life, and energy in the universe.
Right.
Look at the sun flower. This is a flower called the sun flower. As the sun moves, the sunflower moves.
Yeah.
In whatever direction the sun moves, the sunflower turns to a minimal degree in that direction so that it can soak in and bathe in the sunlight, drink in the rays of the sun. The sun's rays striking the planet at its imaginary equator causes it to spin at 1,037 and a third miles per hour, making a complete revolution on its own axis every 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds. But it is sunlight striking the planet at its equator that makes it spin and move and causes, as it moves around the sun, bowing in submission to the divine law of Almighty God, it causes the change in the four major seasons.
Yes.
But it is light that causes that.
Right.
And if we are to get out of the condition that we are in as a dead man and a dead woman, a dead black man and a dead black woman, then we must have light in our minds, light to strike our hearts, and light to strike our lives in a way, lives, minds, and hearts in a way that will move us.
Yeah.
What kind of light do we need?
Come on. Good question.
What a flashlight works.
No.
Oh, that's not the right kind of light. What about a match light?
No,
that won't work. What about a little candle light?
No,
that won't do it. What about a bud light?
No,
a bud light won't do it either. It's got to be the light from the wisdom, the supreme wisdom of Almighty God. It must come from the very nature and soul of the people of God, the black man and the black woman. That ancient wisdom and enlightenment, supreme wisdom, is what will cause your brain cells to rotate and will cause your lives to rotate and cause us to move from the state or condition that we are in to a higher plane and higher quality of human life and development as we move beyond womanhood and manhood back to Godhood as the family of God himself. And we need light. We being the people of the light, the sons and daughters of the light, we bathe in the sun.
Right.
In Africa, in some parts, we can walk around what the old folks call or the elders call buck neck.
Yeah.
Now that's real neck. That ain't just neck. We walk around buck neck.
Right.
Walk in the sun. No sun can.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. That's
no
right.
Man can.
That's right.
No Caliban.
That's right.
No suntan lotion.
That's right.
We just walk around and bathe in the
that's
sun.
Right. Yeah.
Work in the sun.
Yes, sir.
I worship in the sun.
Yes.
Play and recreate in the sun.
That's right.
Make love in the sun.
Yes,
sleep in the sun.
Yes.
Eat in the sun.
Yes.
Swim in the sun. Bathe in the sun.
Yes,
the sons and daughters of the light. The sons and daughters of the sun, because we are in harmony when we are ourselves, and when you leave us alone, we are in harmony with God's divine law. What you see on the streets of Harlem and Brooklyn and Bronx and Queens and Long Island, you're not looking at a real black man. You're not looking at a real black woman. I'm not looking at a real black man. You're not looking at a real black man. I'm not looking at a real black woman, and you're not looking at a real black man. What we are looking at is a black man and a black woman under the effects of captivity.
Yes.
Under the effects of captivity.
Yes.
This is not really us.
No.
What you see on the streets out there, that's not us.
No.
Pimp and our women.
That's right.
Two live crew.
Right.
What kind of madness is this?
That's right.
Got our sister out there with her behind out. Tell me they're down at the Jack the Rapper Conference or convention in Atlanta, Georgia, walking sisters around with almost G-strings on. They're mingling among the men like whores and prostitutes. Any black man that will take his black woman and strip her almost naked and turn her behind up to the public is not a black man, but he's a punk. And he needs to on the back wall, but for some reason we just don't do that. Two Live Crew, we will try to reach them. We will try to teach them. But there will come a time when we're looking for the dedicated black men, the soldiers who are for real, who want to see the liberation of the black nation, who want to see the salvation of the black nation, who want to see the black woman and the black man wake up, clean up, and stand up. We cannot be a new people as long as we hold on to the old ways and the old thinking of the white man. We'll just be with our booba and our tiki and our dashiki and our dreadlocks and our crown on our head and our kente cloth. We'll just be the white man's nigga in a dressed up race. No, we have to change to this. There must be a new black man and a new black woman. That's the only way we're going to do it. Because the white man's world is falling under the weight of its own corruption. And we cannot build anything following the filth, the immorality, the indecency, the freakish, homosexual, and licentious ways of the white man. And the military white woman. Some of you brothers, when we say the white man is the devil, you say, oh, yeah, I knew that old stump was the devil. But when we say the white woman is the devil, you say, oh, wait a minute now. Is the white woman the devil too? The white woman is the mother of the devil. If the white man is a thief, and he is a thief, the white woman is the mother of the thief. If you call the white man the pig, then the white woman is the sow that produces the pig. If the pig is nasty and filthy and dirty and low down, then the sow that produces the pig has to be even more nasty and filthy and dirty and low down.
Right.
All of these diseases in the black community.
That's right.
Disease is sweeping Africa.
Yeah.
Because these nasty, filthy, diseased devils have come in among us. The Indians didn't know nothing about syphilis and gonorrhea. The only way the Indian got it is he got it from the white man when the white man came over on the Mayflower. You didn't come on the Mayflower. You didn't land in Plymouth Rock. You got hit in the head with the rock. You didn't land in Plymouth Rock. If you eat more pumpkin pie, you waiting for November now. You don't eat more pumpkin pie and more turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce than the cracker.
It's Thanksgiving.
Everything should be Thanksgiving for the black man and black woman. Every day should be Thanksgiving for us, but we don't adopt the white man's holiday. You didn't come on the Mayflower, fool. You came in a slave ship. We came in a slave ship. We didn't come on the Mayflower. But the white man came over and gave venereal diseases to the Indians. Where did the white man get syphilis and gonorrhea from? Got it from the dog. In the caves and hills of Europe. Having intercourse with the dog. I told you about it before, some of you. I joke about it sometimes, but it's real. I can imagine dear Abby. And the white man writing dear Abby. Dear Abby. I've waited so long, Abigail. The key was, I just had to write you. It's just troubling me so much. It's just such a far-out problem. It's getting the best of me, Abby. It's Susie Sugar. I'm having problems. It would be all right if she were with another man, but it's not another man. And you know, Abby, how we do things. It would even be all right if it were another woman. But it's not another woman, Abby.
Come on.
Even if it were a nigger, Abby. But it's not a nigger, Abby. It's our dog. It's not working. These sound people got to come in here and get the sound together. Don't they?
Yes.
Can't do this every week. I'm putting you on Front Street. Where are all the sound people? Have them to come out. Let's look at the sound. Come on out, all of the sound people. Come on up front. Where the sound people? Come on out of there. Every week we go through this. Come on up front. These are the sound people. They look like sound brothers. They're going to get it together for us. Let's give them some inspiration and encouragement, because otherwise they do a great job. Thank you, baby. And so Abby writes it back, "Dear Poochie in the Coochie." The white woman has a long-standing relationship with the dog. We never did that in Africa. We don't mess around with them animals in Africa. Them lions and tigers don't play that stuff. I don't know what it is with him and that sheep, but he loves sheep. They have to pass a law, and the judge has to give a court order to keep the white man off of the sheep. But we just didn't do that in Africa. It's not in our nature. But the white man and the white woman having intercourse with the dogs and animals in the caves and hills of Europe, and they still do it today in the hills of America, came in and gave the Indians syphilis and gonorrhea. Now AIDS is out there. And they want us to believe that a green monkey gave it to them. It might have come from a green monkey, but it was a white man that gave it to the green monkey. AIDS is no accident. The white man has something going. The white man is planning, and always has, and always will. It's nothing new. Genocide against black people. AIDS is a form of genocide. That's why we've got to wake up, clean up, and stand up. Give the white man and the white woman their filthy ways back. And we won't have to worry about AIDS. And we will give them their practices back. And we will go back to our natural God-like state and our Afrocentric way of living, the way we lived before they came among us. Brothers and sisters, this case has really troubled me. And it's troubled me because these young brothers, in my judgment, are not guilty of anything. In my mind is that the white man is guilty, and I'm trying to hurry and get to that. The real criminal is the white man. The real criminal is the white woman. The white man is guilty, and the white woman is guilty. It's true.
It is true.
The scripture hints and gives us a sign that the oppressors of the earth, and primarily one great beast, mentioned in Revelation and in the book of Daniel, one great beast, and that great beast is America. And the Old Testament talks about this great beast even beyond Daniel, that there would be an uprising. Says that their cities would be set on fire. Says the people would come from a distant land, from a far land, and their only desire would be to lay him low or to kill him. It speaks of the hint of even the women of this oppressor being raped by other nations of the earth. It talks about the murder of the women of that oppressive nation. It talks about the babies, the little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned babies of the oppressor. The Bible talks being snatched from the white mother's arms and the baby's head being dashed against the rock. This is the Bible talk. I don't have any regret at all over anything that happens to the white man or the white woman. None. I don't care how you feel about that. I don't care what you think of me about that. As many of our people as they have murdered and they continue to murder, as many of our women as they have raped, I don't condone rape, but I don't care about a devil being busted in the head with bricks and rocks and beaten with pipes. The only problem is a no good devil just died. That's the only thing. Why are you so harsh? There is no justice for the black man and black woman in America. We didn't ask to come here. We were brought here against our will and made to work as burden bearers for white America. Burden bearers for white America. I don't care nothing about the white woman. Not a white man. I believe those brothers are innocent and the white man is the guilty one. But what upset the white man is he thought that that was the beginning of what he's been reading in the book. When their women will be beaten and mutilated and killed in cold blood. God's answer to the millions upon millions, even billions of our people that have been destroyed by them over the past 4,000 years in general, during the 6,000 year period of their rule on the planet. He thought this was the beginning of that. And so on trumped up charges, they take our brothers and lock them up. A white woman who can't even remember what happened. So she said. But the nasty, low-down, two-legged dog jogging in the park that time of night. I haven't forgotten Stewart in Boston, Massachusetts. A devil who charged a black man. He chose what black man he wanted. Charged him with the murder of his wife and his unborn baby. And charged him with shooting him. When he had actually shot himself, killed his baby unborn in his white womb, and killed his own white wife. And then to seek the attention and to seek actually the sympathy of the people, he goes on national television and he goes on international satellite that a nigger had shot him, that a nigger had killed him and his white wife and his white baby. And the emotions of the world were stirred up, not just against one black man, but the emotions of the world were stirred up against black men all over the world because of a no-good lying devil who said that a black man shot him and killed his wife and was responsible for his baby never coming from the womb into the light of the sun. Then we find out that the devil was lying. Didn't he commit suicide? Then the devil killed himself. Well, that's all right. The only regret I have is that we didn't get a chance to kill him. That's shoulder with us. You can be weak if you want to. We will never be strong until you face the reality of what is happening to us. We will always be weak and at the feet of white people, grumbling and begging at their feet, begging for the crumbs that fall from their table. We will always be at their mercy and the mercy of their lily white court. Judge Bruce, cut them loose, Bruce Wright says, black robe, white justice. Black robe, white justice. It's just us. Meaning just white folks, it's just for them. Statue of Liberty, blind. Well, that could mean something else. Doesn't mean necessarily fairness and impartiality. Blind could mean that you turn a deaf ear and you cover your eyes when it's time to give justice to the oppressed, the huddled masses that are now at your shore and at your door, but didn't come to your shores and your doors as immigrants, but came to build your country for you. A blind bitch sitting in the harbor who does not seek justice for the black man and the black woman. When I say bitch, it only means a dog. We take it and make it a negative cursing word, but a bitch is a dog, a jiffy dog that will raise it, her tail and go around from dog to dog to dog. It makes no difference, and the white woman is that kind of a two-legged dog that will go out in Central Park in the middle of the night like a jiffy, low-down, two-legged bitch dog. Somebody in the midnight hour. Somebody says she has a black boyfriend. I don't know if it's true. If she has one, he is a boyfriend. Huh? He's the dog's best friend. Can't be a man friend. Black men have black women. Black men don't have white women. You can wear all the dreadlocks you want to and then leave out of here and go get you a white woman. You can wear all of the kitchen cloth you want to and then go out of here and get you a white girl that walk through Harlem walking your dog on your leg, walking through Brooklyn and Bronx and the Queens and Long Island and Jersey and keep your dog. You're nothing but the white man's nigger in a dressed up way. Leave the white man's diseased white woman alone. And you leave the diseased white man alone. Diseased mind, diseased spirit, diseased morals, diseased in every way have corrupted the very air that we have to breathe and the water we have to breathe. Have mixed truth and falsehood together. He's lying. But a jiffy, a bitch, a two-legged dog that will parade herself in Central Park hoping for a cheap thrill, hoping that someone will see her, and we are not sure who did it to the dog. But the sperm or the semen that they got from the bitch. Remember, a bitch is a two-legged dog. I have to keep reminding you, because you're so weak and punkified until you will try to make it other than what I'm saying. But whatever definition you have for a bitch, that's the white woman you take it on that one. The sperm or the semen that they find from her belongs to her boyfriend. It didn't belong to Yusuf Salon. It didn't belong to our other two brothers. It belonged to somebody else. And according to the science of forensics in police investigation and police science, the important role that DNA plays in investigation and fact-finding, DNA is supposed to be like a print, a fingerprint. In some cases, it's even better than a fingerprint. And so when they run the forensic test and they run the DNA test, it doesn't come up showing any connection with any of our young brothers. It's only connected to
come a time when we will have all kinds of pipes. And we'll be beating white folks everywhere. When you wake up, when you wake up, that's what he's afraid of. When you wake up, you'll be killing everything white that ain't right that's in sight. All over the place. If you'll start by killing the white in yourself, we'll start killing the white in ourselves. The first pipe crew we must take the pipe and start beating the white man out of us.
Right.
Beating the white woman out of our minds and our hearts and our ways and the way we deal with each other. We deal with each other the way the white man would deal with us.
Right.
We deal with each other the way the white woman would deal with us.
Right.
She's a bitch. She's a two-legged, low-down dog.
Right.
Didn't remember, she said. She couldn't positively identify anybody. Well, how do we know she was raped? Who said she was raped? She's been giving it up all over the world. And they like women. They like to be beat. They like blood. Am I lying? I mean, they get their thrills. Jimmy Swagger, Jimmy Swagger. Would pay big money. Jimmy didn't want to get in the bed. Jimmy just liked to watch what was happening in the bed. Jimmy would pay big money to sit there and ooh and ah over what was going on in the bed. They're nothing but dogs.
Yes, they are.
Freaks.
Yes.
That's not your nature. You were not a homosexual in Africa, black man and black woman. You were not what you call gay, and I don't use that term gay. It dignifies madness too much. Gay, like you happy. Hell, you mean gay. You didn't come here that way. The Watusi didn't walk through Africa booty gani, baby. Booty gani. The little suave pygmy sister didn't walk through making muscles and trying to be a man. I was at the Harlem Week activity yesterday watching the sisters come through with African cultural attire on. Woman with woman. One sister came through, muscles bigger than any man in here. She'd been working out. Had on some tight jeans. Had her kitchen cloth on. She was walking with her woman. She walked through the festival like this. Like she was Shaka Zulu. Coming through. We didn't do that in Africa. Until the white man came among us. We just didn't do that. And we didn't freak out over bodies in Africa. Some parts of Africa, as I said earlier, we could be buck naked. We didn't trip on the body. The body is sacred. When you study the Afrocentric mind, which is rooted when it is itself and when it is in harmony with the true nature of itself, it is rooted in God's mind. And we see the body as a divine vessel and expression of God. That's the African way. We see the body as a temple of God. Yes, it is. Where the very Spirit of God dwells. Jesus said, you are the temple of the living God. That's the way we see the body in Africa. Black woman walking through the jungles of Africa. Big breath. You don't see the brotherhood. Swinging through the trees. Supposed to be naked and they jump out of the trees and jump on sister, beat her in the head with a coconut and rape her in the bushes. We don't do that in Africa. It's not in our nature. Even after all of these years, it's hard to find it even today. It exists today because somebody's come with a new foreign way. Before the coming of the white man, you couldn't even find it. The body. The temple of God. That's the way we look at it. Black man walked through the jungle naked. See a sister, he doesn't get all excited. That's his sister. Proper things at the proper time. Everything in its proper perspective. He understands the beauty and the aesthetic of the human divine form. That's just an expression again of God. He's the God, she's the Goddess under the Almighty God. That's the way the black man and woman is in Africa. That's our nature. But the white man, as Public Enemy says, as Chuck D, Flavor Flav, Terminator X, the F1W, and at that time, I believe Professor Grip was with them, and I don't ever like to talk without mentioning Grip.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go with the Rip. I'm going to mention Grip.
Yes, sir.
They took a page from Dr. Frances Cress Welsing in her Cress theory of color confrontation and white world supremacy and white people's fear of genetic annihilation, and they wrote, fear of a black plant. Fear of a black plant. Why a fear of a black plant? Because white people believe that if the white woman really cohabitates with the black man, that they will be wiped from the face of the planet Earth. They believe that the black man can destroy white people totally. Now, there ain't no reason for you to form that kind of army. And that's the only weapon you're going to use. No, that's not what I'm advocating here today. But that's their fear. Basketball. Big brown ball. Early sports, it was a big black ball. Representing the scrotum sack or the testes of the black male genitalia or the black male sex organ. What's the object of basketball? When you study psychology and the psyche of people, you will understand that the games they play have something to do with what's happening down in their subconscious mind. Basketball, the object is to keep this big brown ball from getting down to the other end of the court, because there's a hole down there with some white necks hanging from it, representing the blonde hair that grows around the white female sex organ in the pubic area, and you want to keep this big black or brown ball from getting in that hole with the blonde or the white necks or hair hanging from it down on the other end of the court. Not only is the black man shooting it in three-pointers from the top of the key, shooting from half court and making it go in. You can even have it way down on the other end of the court. He can take it off of the opposite team's backboard and throw it all the way down to the other end of the court on the buzzer and hit nothing but blonde necks. But not only are we doing that, but now he can stop dribbling at half court. That means that he has learned how to get past obstacles. The black man can stop dribbling at half court almost and kick to the air, fly to the top of the key, start a 360-degree turn at the free throw line, and like a Jordan, sit that leg and tongue up, and by the time he gets to the goal, slam dunk under the basket with a half twist, with a gainer twist, slam dunk over his head and jam it in the hole with the blonde hair, the white neck thing, but just grab it. Wham! Daryl Dawkins started busting the backboard. They all just basketball, but in the subconscious of the white man, he can go, oh, it makes him feel less than even what he already is. He sits there there cringing.
My God. I don't have a chance.
Even little Bud Webb. He shows that no matter how short the black man is, he can rise to the occasion. But well, he was slam dunking. But the net and the goal represent the white woman's vagina. What it represents? Look at football. Used to be a big, long, black ball. Now it's a black, long, brown ball. What's the object of the game, Dr. Wells, he said? The object is to keep that long, dark ball from getting down to the other end of the field this time. Because at the other end of the field is some white goalposts. Some goalposts with open, like looking like open legs, with some white pads wrapped around it, representing the white, open, inviting legs of the Central Park jogger. I mean, of the white woman. They want to make sure to keep that long, dark ball from getting down to the other end of the field and getting between them white legs. Yes, sir. I'm not being vulgar. I'm giving you the scientific study of one of the best black women in the science field that we have, Dr. Frances Crest Wells. And you can get her book on the Crest theory. He said, but look at the white man, what he thinks of himself. Baseball is a little scrawny white ball. It's not big like the big basketball. It's not big like the big football. It's a little scrawny white ball. And he stands there with a stick, and he tries to knock the hell out of the baseball. He tries to knock it out of sight, knock it out of the damn stadium. Get this little thing out of my face. And then if he's really into it, he plays golf. Dr. Wellsing says you see a white man standing, swinging a stick between his legs, trying to hit a little scrawny, puny white ball called the golf ball in a hole in black Mother Earth. Deep, huh? Deep. The white ball's a little ball. The black balls and the brown balls are bigger balls. You ever seen a white man? He's pacing back and forth in the waiting room at the hospital. His wife is having a baby. You know, his dog. And he's pacing back and forth. He passes out cigars, right? Say, you better watch what you put in your mouth. The cigar is a sex symbol. The cigar is a symbol of the black male genitalia. Yes. It's a symbol of the black male sex organ. Dark and long. He passes them out to everybody in the waiting room because his wife is in labor and she's getting ready to have a baby. So the long black or dark cigar is a symbol of childbirth. He does not pass out little skinny, short, scrawny, white cigarettes. He passes out long, black, or dark cigars. Because Dr. Wellsing says the cigarette is what he thinks. The white cigarette is what the white man thinks of himself down in his subconscious inferiorization thinking process. He feels inadequate. He feels impotent. He feels as he is. Yeah. The symbol for the judges, the black robe. The limousine, the main limousine, is a long black limousine. Yeah. Yeah. Valentine's Day, the white man gives out chocolate cake. And it's a good gift if it has nuts in the chocolate cake. Huh? Fraud that they call fraud. And that whole school of so-called psychology. Everything was rooted in something sexual and freakish. It's their constant preoccupation. So this two-legged dog, the cheap thrill. I don't believe our brothers had anything to do with it. But she got more than she was looking for. Yes, she did. She's no woman of honor. No woman that you should sit around crying for her, feeling sorry for her. She should have died. According to the standards of white people. I cannot live my life according to the so-called moral codes of white people. I cannot live my life according to the so-called codes of ethics of white people, which is nothing but crap.
That's right.
She's a bitch, a two-legged dog and an animal and a beast. And she's only a sign of the many white women who are nothing but two-legged dogs and bitches and beasts, and their babies are bastards. Because the white race is a bastard nation, the illegitimate children of the Father Almighty God. Listen to all praise to God. The white man, her son, are sons of bitches.
Hey, Lord, child, I don't know if I'm going back there. No, I never heard a preacher talk like that in my life. Some of your mothers and aunts that you brought here, they said, your preacher really be cussing. That's the kind of language the preacher used? That's the kind of language you need? And that's the kind of language the preacher must use? I'm not cursing. I'm not using profanity. Sons of bitches. These are the offsprings of a dog. And that's what the white man is. He is a son of a white, two-legged, beat dog bitch like the one in Central Park. Yes, he is. Illegitimate children of God. The odd people on the planet Earth, they are not native anywhere on the face of the planet Earth. Not even in Europe. We are the original Europeans. The black man and the black woman. The white man is not a native nowhere on the planet. Study the Grimaldis in Europe, the early ones, and even before the Grimaldis, black people, we were there even before our early black ancestors. We're the people from all over the Earth. We're the citizens.
All right, fam. All right. That was our brother, man. The general, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, man. You can go and check that. Actually, you can go and check that clip out and actually see the brother. You can get a visual when you can just see it. You know, it's good to see the visual. You can just catch the words more when you see the visual. You can go to YouTube, y'all, and check that clip out. The title of the clip is entitled Black People, Beware of the White Woman by Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. One more time, that YouTube clip is entitled Black People, Beware of the White Woman, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Oh, man, I'm saying, I love that still, that teaching and that fiery teaching, y'all. You know, I know in today's society, we say, well, we don't need that type of teaching. We don't need that those type of words, you know what I'm saying, because that's so racist. You know, we don't need that in our society. Well, I tell y'all what. If you say that we don't need to hear these type of teachings in our community, y'all go tell Trayvon Martin that. You tell that the young brother, I can't think of his name, the one who the damn cracker killed in Florida, Michael Don. You tell that young brother that we didn't need these type of teachings. You tell him. And you tell the brother that was in Texas that they found with his eyes cut out, his throat cut, and his ears, tongue cut out, and one of his ears cut. You tell that brother that we don't need none of these type of teachings today. You tell all of our brothers and sisters too, our sister Melissa Alexander, you tell her that we don't need these type of teachings in these days and times. We need this. We need to hear these fiery words so we can be on God and stand God and have some self-pride about ourselves so we will not continue to let these things happen to ourselves. Look at even the so-called black-on-black crime that is happening. We don't even value our own lives anymore. That's why other people can come in our communities and do things to us. That's why they can kill a Trayvon Martin and figure nothing is going to happen, because what we are doing to ourselves in our own community, every time we turn on the television, we know white folks killing each other, but when they kill, and this is the difference, they kill each other on a massive scale when they go and shoot each other. They kill 40 and 50 people at one goddamn time when they go on a shooting spree. We do one or two little shootings, little drive-bys and whatnot, but still, again, the killing shouldn't be done, period. I'm not condoning it neither way. But the thing with us, when we don't have love for ourselves, we can't expect nobody else to do it. We can't expect nobody else to have love for you either at that same time. So it's just some things, man. You know, the brother was talking about beware of the white woman. And I want to give y'all something here. I read something a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to read it again tonight if y'all don't mind. From the messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but he was talking in his book called The Theology of Time, and it's actually on page 19 from The Theology of Time by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This is what he was saying about the white woman. He says, "My brothers, do not grab these blue-eyed girls of his. They are doing this today to get you away from God of your salvation. The girls have been taught. Let me see. The girl has been taught this a long time. So when this day came, she would sweetheart you and blind you to the knowledge of time. So you won't recognize what she's doing. She will make you think that we are that it's just not time to recognize that we must live as one people. And yet you are blind and will say, yes, yes, that's right. But no, understand what she means. That the time has arrived now that I will make you think that I'm in love with you. I will marry you. You will marry me. But you are headed to hell." Yeah, that's what he said. He said, "I will entice you, work on the very nature of you. I will go nude in front of you. Think over that." He said, he gave them the woman, corrupting themselves. And he said, that is here in the Bible. But let's go back to a couple of parts that Honorable Elijah Muhammad made a statement here in this part. He says that she will make you think that the time has come that we will realize that we are one people, and yet you are blind to that. And you know, and that is true. See, now they're giving you this thing called integration and interracial relationships now to make you think everything is okay, everything is pleasant now. But you see, if everything was so pleasant and everything was so hunkadory, as they would, old words would say, you wouldn't have, even when Barack Obama, President, let me put this, President Barack Obama, when he even got into office, y'all remember how they made fun of him and his wife, and I don't know if they really did it to the children, but it was Michelle Obama, and I know Barack and Michelle, but they were still calling them monkeys and all of this stuff. And then there's a lot of other things, racial things that went on in America, just going on throughout America. Paula Deen, we still have the statements with Paula Deen, Don Imus, and all of this. So if everything with dealing with this racial issue was so good, why would these things still be happening today? Like I said, our brother, the Stand Your Ground laws, the damn fool, I forget his name, George Zimmerman, to Stand Your Ground. He didn't go to jail. He didn't get convicted of the murder for Trayvon Martin. But our sister Marissa Alexander went to jail, and they charged her for 20 years. But I've actually seen that she's supposed to be out dealing with her appeal on the thing. But now they're saying they're trying to give her three consecutive 20-year sentences. So that's 60 years if they find her guilty on it. But her standing your ground didn't work for her. And there was a, someone else, a brother that was in the military. I seen an article that they had a stand your ground law, and it didn't work for him. Here's a brother who went to the military, the armed forces, to fight for the United Snakes of America, and he still didn't get the right as George Zimmerman and Michael Don did. He got convicted on the stand your ground law. So we got to see, y'all, family, this shit don't work. This justice system don't work for you. So integration don't work for you as well, and interracial relationships don't work for you as well. It's all just a trick. It's all just a ploy. Now, it says that, it says, I will entice you. Work on the very nature of you. Don't they do that? Y'all know our nature. Look how our nature was. We were a peace and loving, kind people. We would help anybody. We would help anybody no matter what. You can do something to me today. I'll forgive you and work with you on tomorrow. But now we don't do that. We don't work amongst ourselves for sure. You know, we work with any other people. We won't work with each other though. We still have a hatred, and we still have a tolerance. We can't deal with each other. But anybody else come and do something for us, we can easily forgive them. And it's just like what we'll do. We can read on the history and watch 12 years of slavery. Watch the movie 12 Years of Slavery and see what happened in that movie. Read all of the history books to what happened to the so-called African slave trade, Atlantic slave trade, and see how they, and watch movies like Roots, even though they say it wasn't real, but we can see the things that happened. And y'all just go and look up. There's still slavery that goes on to this very day. There's a website you can actually go and look it up. Just go and Google search modern slavery. And you will see the numbers that they have. It's still slavery that's going on in Africa. Especially one of them is in Mauritania, is in Africa. They have the highest slave rate still today in modern slavery that's today in Africa, in Mauritania. Look it up. But the thing here, we still forgive them for everything. We still forgive them. It's like it never happened. We can read talking about 400 some odd years of being in slavery here in America, as they tell us that it happened. We still would allow ourselves to intermarry with them. We still will dine with them and say, this is my best friend and all of this old bullshit. But they don't still give you any kind of equality or anything else. They don't give you any freedom. You still got to fight for certain rights, but you still will forgive them. But if me, my brother, have a disagreement with one another, we can't forgive each other. So some shit that happened 2 hours ago, we'll never forgive each other for it. But we can forgive somebody who went, or forgive somebody or people who put us through so-called 400 years of hell and torture. And we can forgive them. We act like nothing happened. Like they say, we turn a blind eye. That's what we do. Now, let me read one more part here. Let me see. I got it right here. What the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying, he says, this coming also from the theology of time. He says, I say to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, turn around and take a new thought of your people. Let the world know that you love self and those that look like you. Don't let people see you hating yourselves. Who you are going to love, actually asked the question here, who are you going to love after you hate yourself? Nothing but your enemy. One more time, let me say it, y'all, here. He says, turn around and take a new thought for your people. Let the world know that you love yourself and those that look like you. And it says, don't let the people see you hating yourself. Said, and man, who are you going to love after you hate yourself? Nobody. Only verse he said that you're going to love is your enemy, because you have a hate for yourself. You have a hatred for yourself. There's some things I see, something about this model. I didn't even want to read the goddamn article on it, though. But this little African model, I don't even know her name, and I don't even care to even find out after the statement she made. She was talking about how she was picked on about her skin and hated for her skin, skin complexion and all this. There's a dude I seen, another article, that this brother was saying that that he hate himself. He hate himself for being black because all of the stereotypes, you know what I'm saying, for being black. See what I'm saying? We have a lot of self-hatred that's going on with ourselves. You know what I'm saying? No matter if you are a so-called of the black race, a Nubian race, Moors race, whatever, and you have a stereotypical thing that's been said about you, black people are just filthy, evil, and wicked, and all of this type of stuff that they say about us, that still doesn't, you still shouldn't feel that you have to hate yourself for who you are. That is what other people are saying for you. Y'all know the old saying, you don't give a damn about what other people say about you. Y'all know that? If y'all remember our mothers and daddies and our parents used to tell us, it don't matter what people say about you as long as you know who you are. You shouldn't care about what people say about you. As long as you know your self-worth and who you are and what you value about yourself. Who gives a damn about what other people say about you? Because y'all never know. They just might want to be you. And we know that white people want to be like us all the time. They used to say that old slogan, y'all, I want to be like Mike. Well, hell, the white folks want to be like Mike. That's why they came out with movies, White Man Can't Jump. Now they're trying their damn best to jump. They're trying their best to do everything they can. They want to be like us. If they didn't, why would they be sleeping in goddamn hot-ass suntan and, machines and all of that trying to get tan, laying out in the sun, laying in the oven like a can of biscuits and shit, Pillsbury Dough biscuits, trying to tan themselves, trying to get that darker hue, that hue, trying to get that copper tone complexion. If they didn't want to be like you, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? But they teach you to hate yourself because of who you are. You look ugly. You look nasty. You look filthy in that black skin. And you start to have a self-hatred for yourself and start to want to bleach your skin. You start to want to do that, press your hair. You start to want to turn yourself white and all of this stuff because they made you want to hate yourself. And by you want to hate yourself, you want to be like them, and they're going to get like you. Y'all just look at the damn thing. When black people say that they hate when these people coming out somebody, they got ridiculed and talked about for them, for their darker skin, and they start lighting up their skin. Have they ever looked at white people when they, like I said, they tanning their damn self? They ought to take a look at that. They ought to take a real close observation of that. Well, wait a minute. They talking about me and my black skin, but damn, why are they darkening their skin? Something is wrong here. Something is wrong. See, we don't take time out to look at things like that. You're so worried about, like I said, what other people saying about you that you can't even read a lot and take a stop and look at what the hell they doing. See, when people get to talking about you, what you do, you stop. And you take a look at what the hell they doing. And then you point out some shit that they doing. You know what I'm saying? Like they might say go with war with words. But you look at what they doing. And then you point out there, like, you can't talk about me, Jack. Look what the fuck you doing. Look at the mirror. Michael Jackson told us that, y'all. Look at the man in the mirror. Before you can point the finger at somebody else, you need to take a close observation at your own self. So white folks, before you go pointing your finger at anybody else, you go look at your own self. But y'all already know what y'all do. You ain't even got to do that. Your history, your nature tells just who you are. So I love to hear brothers like Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and the old school teachers, man, who really gave us something to look at. And like I said, you know, and I will be continuing to play more and more lectures like this, the older lecture, because that's one thing we have to do, like I said, and I'm here in Memphis, I'm getting out in the community and try to get with brothers. We're going to try to hit these streets, y'all. We got to try to hit these streets. And here's my thing, what I'm trying to, and my brother, let me give him some big shouts out, too. My brother is doing some great works. My brother Umar Sharif down in Jacksonville, Florida, who's actually doing the work down in Jacksonville, Florida, who's hitting the streets, y'all, to trying to help rid the ills that's in the streets and in the communities of Jacksonville, Florida, trying to reach our youth, trying to reach our elders that's out there on the wrong path or on that destructional path that's tearing down our community. I give my big shout-outs to my brother Umar Sharif, y'all, down in Jacksonville, Florida. And I want to give another shout-out to a brother Mark Hammond. Peace to your brother. Peace to your brother Mark Hammond. Thank you for listening to Culture Freedom Radio. But here's something I really got to do. I'm focused now. I'm trying to rally up and get some brothers together so we can start hitting these streets and getting out into the streets and talking to more about our youth, because they always say that our children are our future, right? if our children are our future, we need to be talking to them, because our babies are the ones that's out here dying, man. Our young people out here dying on a massive scale, man. They are dying at the blink of a drop of a hat, if you just say. Fast as you can blink, man, our youth, they're dying out here, man. If they're not dying, they're just getting shot up. They are, man, on all kind of drugs. Man, they all, man, just chemical dependent. They're just walking chemical plants nowadays. So I'm really trying to get out here in this community, man, now and start pulling and trying to get reach out to our people. And most of one thing I really want to do is reach out to the ministers, our politicians in these cities, and I don't care if the imams in the cities, whatever kind of house, religious house or organization or house you in, this is what we need to do. We're sitting in these different houses, churches, mosques, or whatever. We need to come up outside of those houses and hit the street. We need to come up out of those buildings and start walking the streets. Okay, you can have your sermons and lectures on Sundays and whatever Saturdays, whenever you have them. But the most important part we need to do, we need to get out in the streets. Because there's this one thing here. You got a church on every corner in the black neighborhood, on every corner, probably two and three on one corner. Just a whole block, a square. But look at the crime rate that's in that neighborhood. Just one little neighborhood now with a population probably 901 little neighborhood. You probably got 25 churches. And look at, man, what these churches need to be doing. They need to be out here in the community. And those people who go to those churches live in that community. So they need to come outside of that, quit walking by all the people who are in the streets, laying in the streets, and just out there in the street, just lost, just walking lost. Here's the thing. Now I'm going to get to my Christian family. Y'all talk about in the Bible how y'all read, I guess y'all read it. I don't know. I don't never hear too many people talk about it in the church. But here's the thing. Your so-called Bible in the New Testament talk about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of these people, they got on Jesus, right? So you say you follow Christians. They talked about how he was in the streets talking to the prostitutes, the thieves, and all of these people that was out in the streets. That's what they say, right? He wasn't teaching in the synagogue. What was he teaching at, according to your Bible? He was out in the street, right? He was in the highways and byways where the people was at, those so-called lost people or the lost souls, as you say, in the street. So by that saying that, that's where you need to be at. That's where you need to be. Come outside of them churches. Hit the streets and talk to the people, man. Let them know what they're doing is destructive for their society. It is destructive, and they would no longer be able to exist at the rate that they're going at. You got to be able to tell them, man. Let them know that the stuff they're seeing on television is not real. These so-called reality shows are unreality shows. That's not real what they're seeing. So we got to be able to step outside of these different houses. I don't give a damn if it's the Masonic Lodge house. I don't give a damn what kind of a Buddhist lodge. I don't give a damn what it is. We need to hit the streets and get out here and talk to the people and reach the people. So if you're sitting in one of these other places in your mosque, on Friday for Juma or Talim on Sunday, y'all already say y'all know the way. On Sunday you're going to church. Wednesday Bible study class or whatever. Y'all already say y'all are saved. So let's get out here in the street and reach the people who are not so-called saved. Let's reach those people. Now I give y'all a little scenario, this story I had. I got six more minutes. I give you a story that I had broke down to a sister once. And she asked me, she was a Christian sister. She asked me this story. She always used to ask, brother, are you saved? Are you saved? And sometimes I'd be busy, you know, because I was working at the call. I'd be busy. I ain't really had a time to come and say good. I'm like, yeah, sister, yeah, just to get out of my face. You know, she'd be selling a product. I'd just give her a couple of dollars, buy some product, and she gone. But one particular day, she really got to me. She asked me, brother, are you saved? I like, nope. And she said, what, you're not saved? I said, no. I said, no, I'm not. And she was like, why are you not? I said, well, let me give you a little story. I said, think about this. I said, there's two men that's in a lifeboat. They out in the middle of the ocean. They out in the middle of the ocean with a little bitty boat. The boat capsized. One guy and the Coast Guard, they got sent out of SOS, you know what I'm saying? And the Coast Guard are on their way out there. Now, one guy, he swam to shore. He made it. He's so-called safe. He's safe, or he's saved now. But the one guy still in the ocean, he's still out there struggling. He's trying to swim. He's trying to make it. Now, who should the Coast Guard come and save? Should he come and save the guy that's out there in the ocean? Or should they go and go straight to the shore and get that guy that's on the shore? She's like, well, he should go out there and get the guy that's in the water. In the water. I said, my point exactly. I said, so you saying that, so when y'all get to hollering, y'all saved. I said, y'all talk about Christ. I said, y'all said he's coming back. I said, why would he have to come back to get me if I'm already on the shore and I'm saved? He should be going out there getting away. He's going to go back and get those persons who's out there that's still in the ocean. So I know, I said, I'm not saved. Because the one thing about it is I still have errors. I still have faults. I still have things that I have to work on in my life. So those people who are going to the church and going to the mosque all the time, y'all claim y'all saved. Y'all are the people who have made it to the shore. Y'all safe. But those are people that are out there in the street. They still swimming. They still struggling to get back on that life raft that have turned over. They struggling. So they need somebody to come as that SOS, that Coast Guard, to come in and bring them ashore to make sure they get saved and make sure they get safe. So they would no longer be the threat of our society. They would no longer be looked at as a threat and we want to basically say the terrors of our society. No longer will our young brothers be looked at as gangsters and terrors of our society, while our elders have to be terrified of our youth. Because, yes, y'all didn't know that. Our elders now are basically terrified of our youth. They can't sit on the porch anymore. I remember y'all back in the days, our elders used to be able to sit on the front porch. Y'all, I'm from the South. I'm getting kind of country with it. They used to sit on the front porch during, like, the summertime, and you would just sit out there, man, and just relax and watch the scenery, watch the cars as they go by, wave at everybody as they come through the neighborhood. Hey, Miss Jones, how you doing? Hey, baby, how you doing? We had those type of things in our neighborhood, in our community. Now the elders can't even sit on the porch anymore and speak and wave. For one thing, hell, we don't even speak to the elders anymore. That's how rude and how angry we have got. We walk around, we like to say, man, he got his dog on. He got his dog on his face. He frowned up. That's how we are now. We're frustrated. So in that, we got to learn how to hit these streets, family, and talk to our youth and let them know how to take that anger and put that anger and frustration and whatever in a different way. Learn how to change that energy. Change that energy from doing something negative to a positive. But we got to get out here in these streets. So all of these ministers and reverends and imams and sheikhs and all of this, we got a job to do. And it's not inside of the church. It's not inside of the mosque. It's not inside none of these buildings. It's out in the streets. Because we have to change our own neighborhoods. As I remember, there's a verse in the Holy Quran.
Uh-oh. Forgive me, family. But I'm going to say this right fast. I got about 1 minute. My phone dropped off. Yeah, but it says that the Allah would never change the condition of a people until they change for themselves. So we have a lot of changing to do. While we're sitting back saying we're waiting on Jesus, we're waiting on Yahweh, we're waiting on Jehovah, we're waiting on somebody, any Savior, to come to save us, we got to remember, we got to start changing for ourselves. We got to start putting things in motion for ourselves before anybody come and do something for you. So, hey, we had messages. We had warners. Elijah Muhammad said he was the messenger. So he gave us a message, and he wasn't the only one. There was a lot of people. There were brothers. There were sisters who came and gave us messages. But we got to take heed to the words. Like our brother explained, take heed to the word, my brother. Hey, y'all. Hey, man, it's been a great time tonight. Hey, y'all, gave y'all Beware of the White Woman by our brother, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Y'all, we're going to keep these things going right here, y'all. Man, the liberation hour, man, liberation hour. Because, hey, we have to liberate ourselves so we can stop all of this killing and start talking about signing petitions and get some justice. Let's get our own self some justice, y'all. Hey, y'all, until next time, y'all, this has been Culture Freedom Radio. Peace. I'm out of here.